Thank you very much. Before I introduce myself, I would just like to thank several people. My colleague, Susan, who is a sociologist, I am the anthropologist, and we've pooled our fields. and Dave for being a willing partner, and Mary for joining to close our session with her discussion, and also especially to Peggy Timothy for helping us every step of the way. Thank you very much. So, as I said, I am an anthropologist. I have founded two community-based research institutes to do research in the community. So we bring together scientists and community residents to actually conduct research that oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes is NIH-funded, and provide a partnership base for universities when the opportunity arises. So I have no disclosures. For some reason, we've had some problems with this program. So let me just mention quickly, since they're missing again, the goals of this presentation are really remind us that the first two slides, first of all, have emphasized through epidemiologic work the importance of focusing on oral health in older adults. The question is, since we know that that treatment offers only 10% of the solution, the question is, what do we do about that? And especially in this country or in other countries, what kinds of approaches might be effective intervention approaches in helping older adults, especially the older adults living at home, which are definitely an underserved and understudied population, and low-income adults, older adults who are not covered by insurance, to improve their oral health. So I actually, in reviewing the literature to look at what we might think are some of the best characteristics of intervention science from formative research all the way through to dissemination, I'm going to summarize the main points that are made in a special issue that some of you may know about, but others may not know about. I didn't, actually, until fairly recently, edited by Dave and by Melissa Riddle at NIDCR, that puts together many papers that bring the best of intervention science to oral health intervention research. So let me run through these characteristics, and then I'll mention a few gaps, and then talk a little bit about our project as a way of filling some of the gaps, or at least demonstrating how they might be filled, and finally some suggestions for the future. So the first important issue in this special issue is the shift, perhaps it's not a shift from treatment to prevention, but at least we're starting to see a lot more emphasis on prevention, and the separation of treatment from care, treatment from prevention activities. The second important point is partnerships. Obviously, probably everyone in this room is working with partners, but in order to work in social behavioral science interventions in the community, partnerships are important, essential, and take time to develop. The third important point is theory. We cannot understand the nature of our interventions, how they function, what is actually causing the outcomes that we anticipate and achieve without having a clear theoretical framework. The fourth important point is that, as several people mentioned earlier this morning, we need to have content that is culturally, developmentally, situationally appropriate. We need to have formats of delivery of intervention. We need to have the engagement of people in the setting involved in developing intervention materials and also evaluation materials. We need intervention planning. We need, I have to say this as an anthropologist, we need qualitative inquiry. I've said it to people who aren't anthropologists. That's good news. Because that can tell us a little bit about what's happening in the black box that we're not measuring. We might see some surprises. We also need fidelity measures in order to understand whether our interventions are being implemented consistently, but we need to remember, I always remind people that we need to remember fit too, because there's a juggling act between fidelity and fit. Mediation is important because without statistical mediation techniques, we can't understand which components of our our theory are affecting the outcomes and in what way, and sustainability, dissemination, and cost effectiveness are also important. So let me just mention a couple of the gaps, disparities. The literature is, of course, we're all concerned now about social justice and disparities. We talk the language, but we don't always see it in our work. So that is an area that we need to build on. Better description of partnerships with sites, using an ecological framework for thinking about the factors that influence both behavior and outcomes, and then in conjunction with an ecological framework, attempting interventions that function at multiple levels to work together to bring about the same outcome, and then figuring out how to unpack them. We need to tailor our interventions, and of course, it's very important, as many people have now said, to bring interventions to the locations where people live, where they work, where their social life is activated. And residential units, which include senior housing and also, you know, family housing, are important locations. There's only a limited amount of research in this area. Finally, design innovations are important because we found there's a lot of literature now. For those of you that are believers in RCTs, that there are many other approaches to doing research, including factorial designs and system designs. So let me talk for just a few minutes about our project, which has been, it's not a project, it's actually a program of research that has been going on in Hartford, Connecticut, and the surrounding area for the last 9 years. It is a collaboration between the University of Connecticut School of Dental Medicine and specifically my colleague Susan, Dr. Racine, and the Institute for Community Research in Hartford. We have worked for 15 years in senior housing, and this is kind of maybe now more, and this is the latest and most popular iteration of our intervention work. I never believed that teeth would be so popular. So these sites are low-income public and private housing. They range from small to large in terms of numbers of apartments, and that's usually numbers of residents because most residents are living by themselves. We've worked in 22 buildings. The population is diverse, reflecting the population in the area of the cities and the kind of industrial towns of Connecticut. About 35% African Americans, some West Indians, 40% Latino, formerly mostly Puerto Rican, but now becoming more diverse in their Latino background, which has implications for the content of interventions, and then the rest Euro-American of different locations. Income is low, insurance is not supplemented, and is Medicare predominantly, and these are people that are living by themselves, many with less than a high school education, and some people with no education at all, and 30% bilingual. So our work is built on 3 years of planning. If you remember, planning was an important component. And those years, based on two grants that Susan has highlighted that are NIDCR-funded infrastructure grants, were to build relationships with the buildings, gain support from the buildings for research, not only our research but others, and build qualitative instruments, educational materials in collaboration with residents who would be using them and sharing them with their peers. Also to develop and implement an intervention pilot to see whether our theoretically driven intervention would have effective results, which it did, and then to test scales and measures and to create fidelity measures for the process evaluation. And we also developed an interesting way of providing feedback mechanisms for participants. So our current 5-year trial involves 6 large buildings. It uses a fractional and adapted fractional factorial design to sort out which of the key components of the intervention sequenced or individually have an effect on our desired outcomes, which are clinical, they're straightforward, they're clinical outcomes, the plaque index and gingival index, and some other outcomes as well. This is our design. You can see I call it a stack design. It reverses. It's kind of a, what do you call it? It's Anyway, it doesn't matter. We are stacking component one and component two. Component one is a face-to-face intervention based on somebody earlier mentioned motivational interviewing. This is based on adapted motivational interviewing. Why? Because motivational interviewing can't be standardized. It's highly individualized. It's hard to measure. Fidelity is a problem. So we adapted it by semi-scripting it. And then oral health campaigns, several of them in a building. With three time points. The first time point is the baseline, time zero. Time one allows us to compare the two interventions to each other. Time two allows us to compare the outcomes of the stacking, how the interventions work together in different sequence. And time three is a sustainability measure. I just will flash by you our theoretical framework, which is based on Fishbein's integrated model and Bandura's efficacy and practice to mastery. And to say, if you notice that there are stars, where the stars are actually baseline measures and components of the intervention. We're measuring, developing cutoff points below which everybody gets a tailored, scripted, face-to-face intervention. So wherever you see a star, there's a script. And finally, let me just mention that oral health fears and worries is a scale that didn't exist. It's a culturally based scale. It has pretty decent alpha coefficient, and we hope to be able to market it sometime pretty soon. So our theoretical elements are consistent across the two interventions. I won't go into them in detail, but these slides will be available, so you can just read from left to right and see how we're taking the same domains, the same kinds of measures and activities, and just translating them for a campaign setting for a group versus a face-to-face intervention. Our fidelity measures are basically well-defined, and these are the questions which I've already reviewed. So let me just summarize by saying that where you see red, elements are those that we've tried to add and address in our intervention study that are not included in the original 2011 set of papers. So there's a complementarity. And finally, let me acknowledge my team, our team. They include a number of people whose names I won't mention at the University of Connecticut and at the Institute for Community Research, and thank you, NIDCR.